As John Rourke took the Saab gently through the intersection, the light finally turned green, and he began looking for the few recognizable landmarks from his scouting foray during the afternoon. He didn't want to find them, lead the Nazis who pursued him, in rather subdued manner now, to be sure, to where Yuri Plotkin was supposed to be. The cathedral steeple, the cafe sign, the fountain, none of these were in evidence, so Rourke's mind returned to the business at hand, the men in the black Mercedes and the lime-green Volvo. That there were no police following him was amazing. Either that, or indicative of the fact that Plotkin's intimations about official cooperation, at least at some levels, with the Nazis, aired only in that they were conservative. It was possible that the men following him had some fix-in with the local police, or at least with a few key officials. Traffic was still moderate to light as Rourke cruised along the street. He was coming up to another light and the Mercedes was still behind him, but the Volvo was starting to pull up alongside. Rourke kept his window down and the SIG was in his right fist. The Volvo stopped beside him, windows down.
Oh, doctor, you will turn right at the corner here and you will be followed. Should you do other than turn right, you will be shot.
Rourke mentally shrugged, then brought the SIG up to the level of his own chest. Rourke's attention immediately went elsewhere as he pivoted in his seat and fired at the man in the back seat who was holding the Uzi. Rourke rotated slightly forward and fired a fourth shot as the Volvo's driver started to cross against the still red traffic light. The dead man slumped over the wheel, his right foot apparently stomping down in a death rictus over the accelerator. The Mercedes was right behind him, but John Rourke had planned ahead. His left hand caught the Saab steering wheel into a tight right as he threw the stick into neutral and hauled up on the emergency brake. Rourke grabbed for the pistol and threw himself from behind the wheel, half falling into the street as the Mercedes slammed the Saab broadside. The Mercedes radiator dumped its load into the street. Rourke wheeled as he aimed for the already shattered windshield, the Mercedes driver's head partially through it. Rourke pivoted left, the passenger side door opened. As in the Volvo, there was a man in the rear seat, and like that man from the Volvo, this man was armed with an Uzi submachine gun. Rourke dodged left behind the Saab. He edged along the driver's side left fender, keeping the engine block between him and the submachine gunner. Rourke jumped up onto the hood of the Saab, took one long step, and was onto the twisted hood of the Mercedes. He bounded up onto the roof of the Mercedes as the submachine gunner was ramming the fresh magazine up the butt of his weapon. Rourke didn't let him finish. He ducked into an alley at the middle of the block. As he looked in both directions from the end of the alley, he spotted a fountain and a cathedral spire.
Plotkin.
Two blocks past the cathedral, a magnificent old structure which looked almost too stereotypical to be genuine, he turned left down a wide street dotted with seen-better-days buildings of considerable age, all leaning against each other, it seemed, as if no one of them was able to stand alone. At the center of the block was the address he sought, but he didn't turn in. 5 minutes later, after walking around the block and checking both entrances to the building, John Rourke at last entered through the front doorway of the rooming house.